Shalom Chaverim, my friends. Recently, I read a statement made by one of our modern Jewish writers with which I find myself in hearty agreement. Here is what was written. Strictly speaking, from the opening word of Genesis to the closing word of Chronicles, the Hebrew Bible pursues but a single theme, unfalteringly and without digression. Now, although this writer may not mean exactly what I mean, of course he may, yet I am quoting him because the statement he made is truth, solid truth, truth clad in printer's ink, striding through the minds of men. Surely, the Hebrew Bible pursues but a single theme, and that theme, unquestionably, is redemption. Redemption in the very widest sense your most vivid imagination can supply. Redemption that sweeps the skies of heaven and scours the depths of Hades. Redemption that encircles humanity in a blessed bracelet of benediction. Redemption that rips the content from the ugly bodies of frustration, disappointment, and dissatisfaction, and leaves these monstrous giants prone upon the sward of human experience to trouble the groaning heart of humanity no more. Redemption that cries triumphantly to the sword-bearing cherubim that guard man's access to the tree of life to put up the merciful sword. For, at last, man is ready to partake and live forever. Redemption that rings out the clarion call of mankind's jubilee until the very canopies of time and space echo and re-echo with its melody, and all creation catches up the everlasting refrain. The trees clap their hands for joy, and the exquisite perfumes of an eternal spring intoxicate the nostrils of liberated man until he falls adoringly at the feet of redemption's glorious author and cries, "My Lord and my God." That, and nothing short of that, is the single and the singular theme the Bible pursues. One might adapt the words of the psalmist and cry, "Keshemen hatav al harash." It is like the excellent oil upon the head. It resembles the precious Shemen Zayit, which Moses was commanded to employ for the Ne'er Tamid, the perpetual menorah, the everlasting light, in the midst of Israel, as recorded in the opening verses of Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 24. In the fourth verse of this same chapter, the Ne'er Tamid, continual light, is also called HaMenorah HaTohorah, the pure light. Pure and perpetual was the candlestick which shined in the midst of these descendants of Shem, in the line of the seed of the woman. Weighing some 229 pounds troy, and worth perhaps $23,000, this candlestick, with its 7 points of illumination, has persisted as the revered symbol in Israel, and it is fascinating to behold it in this present day as the official symbol of the newborn state of Israel. However, I imagine the symbolism of the menorah, the lampstand, with its 7 points of illumination, is wider and deeper than is suspected. May I give you a few suggestive thoughts? As you are aware, 7 is recognized as the number which symbolizes spiritual perfection, and light, as a symbol, surely needs no comment from me. Here then, in the menorah of Israel, we find the symbol of perfect spiritual illumination, pure and perpetual. Indubitably, the origin of all that this symbolism could possibly convey is to be found rooted in the pristine divine legacy of redemption through the seed of the woman as bestowed by God in the Edenic garden. We find this legacy of Eden working out purposively until it is amplified and elucidated to and through Abraham some 2,000 years later. God's unconditional covenant with Abraham, as initially recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, possesses seven precious points of promise which illumine redemption's priceless plan and patrimony like the sevenfold light of Israel's menorah. For this reason, in my book, Out of the Clouds, I have likened this Abrahamic covenant to the sevenfold menorah of divine light, brightening the cheerless gloom of human futility. Come, using the sacred fire from the God-patterned and provided altar of sacrifice, let us light in succession each of the seven oil-soaked outlets in this menorah covenant of promise. The first flame of warranty shines its light into our souls with these gracious words: I will make of thee a great nation. The second illuminant warms us with its pledge: and I will bless thee. As if in harmonic and electric response, the third ray scintillates the sparkling assurance: and make thy name great. The central shaft that bears the six branches next sends forth its beam: and be thou a blessing. The fifth halo of hope surrounds not only Abraham, but every friend of the Jewish people down the ages: and I will bless them that bless thee. The sixth flashes its warning beacon: and him that curseth thee will I curse. Hitler found this promise still potent, and all Jew-haters will share his experience. The seventh effulgence sends its radiancy forth in glorious guarantee: and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The advancing light of this menorah of the ages is inextinguishable because its source is the divine faithfulness and its covenant clauses unconditional and quite independent of human failure, and I beg to disagree with any who suggest the contrary. This gracious Abrahamic covenant was born of divine grace, delivered whilst Abraham was yet uncircumcised, sealed by God's oath and ratified by sacrifice. Sacrifice divinely initiated, the very circumstances of which illustrate and demonstrate this unconditional content in symbolic wonder in Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, where we read that the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces of the sacrifice. Rabbi D.A. de Sola comments correctly on this passage of the law as follows, and here I quote him: the flaming fire which appeared in the midst of the smoking furnace was the symbol of the divine presence ratifying the covenant by passing between the pieces. The reason why Abram did not also pass between the pieces was because there was nothing in this covenant obligatory on his side. That is the end of the quotation, and it should be the end of our anxiety regarding the ultimate issues of the future of the race. Not extinction by hydrogen bombs, but redemption by divine grace, totally apart from human effort or inertia, merit or demerit. God alone, through the instrumentality of the promised seed of the woman, will pour forth this beneficence upon mankind. my friends, if you will meditate carefully over every one of those 7 points of divine illumination in this Abrahamic menorah of the ages, and then check them over against world history, ancient and modern, you will find them all in a continuous process of fulfillment, not exhausted even yet. Like a precious pebble of promise, dropped by divine grace from heaven into the torpid waters of humanity's spiritual inertia, the resultant ripple circles ever widen in diameter until they reach the utmost limit of the shores of entire racial bliss for the totality of all mankind. Observe the ever-widening circles of blessing in this sevenfold, unconditional, divine covenant with Abraham. First, the individual. I will bless thee. Second, the family. I will make thy name great. Third, the nation. I will make of thee a great nation. Fourth, the race. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. May this Abrahamic menorah of the ages burn brightly in the midst of human darkness, and may it kindle a flame of hope in your soul as it does in mine. So keep listening as we follow its blessed beams to the ends of the earth in our succeeding messages. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.